Welcome to the Hockey News Action Show, presented by BetMGM and McKennie Hockey. I'm Mike Stevens, and joining me is someone who, you know, I'm very well acquainted with, and I'm sure you are as well, Rachel Dory. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. We've got another new show. I'm pretty excited about it. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, we got caught in the rain a little bit, if you can't tell. It's a bit of a rainy day in Toronto where we're filming this in the studio, but no, it's great. Look, what we're doing here is we did this a little bit last year where, you know, it was myself and Jason Chen. And we would tee up essentially the day's games from a betting perspective, from an action perspective, as you want to call it, and we get into all that. Now we have Rachel here, someone who is far superior and smarter to me in this category. So what I'll be doing is teeing her up to go over the day's games that are coming forward. We're recording this on Tuesday, and we're also recording this on Friday. Tuesday to get ready for the Tuesday and Wednesday slate of games, and then Friday to get ready for the Saturday games. It's going to be a lot of fun. Why don't we get started?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be super fun. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, I think Saturday, right? Because it's like the biggest kind of game night of the week. And then I don't know if we're going to stick to Tuesday, Wednesdays. It'll basically be kind of a night that has
a lot of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, we're going to be teeing up the nights where there are the most plentiful amount of games for you to wager on. It's going to be a lot of fun. So with that, we had Pittsburgh taking on Ottawa. It's their first meeting of the season. And these are two teams that are really kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to regular, or I guess recent success. Rachel, why don't you get into some of the nitty-gritty here?
Yeah, so obviously Pittsburgh's had a ton of success. They've made the playoffs since you and I were pretty much 10-year-olds, I want to say. Yeah, like we were in elementary school. Ottawa has not had that same success. They are on the come up though. They had a recent hot streak, but just like kind of a couple things I'm looking at here. Sidney Crosby's got four straight games against Ottawa, and in his career, he's got 1.16 points per game against the Sens. That's about his career average. He does enjoy playing the Sens. And then more recently speaking, he's got five or more shots in his last four games. So he's shooting the puck a ton. Ottawa gives up some shots to centers. So I would look for that, especially because of where Crosby plays on the power play. I think his shots are probably something that I would seriously look at here.
All right. Now we have Jake Guentzel also on the heater. He's got points in five straight versus Ottawa. He seems to be someone who likes to take care of the Senators here. Maybe he would be someone to possibly get in on.
Yeah. So what was interesting is when I was going through the data, the Sens give up a ton of shots and scoring chances to left wingers. And right now, Jake Guentzel, Ricard Raquel, they're top two left wingers. And so you've got Jake Guentzel, who's got you've got Jake Guentzel, who has points in five straight games versus Ottawa. And then you've got Ricard Raquel, who's got three or more shots in four of his last five games. And so you're kind of looking at maybe Pittsburgh targets using their left wingers and getting shots from that area. I would expect Jake Guentzel to probably continue his point streak. He does play a lot on the power play. Him and Ricard Raquel have really been kind of looking good on their respective lines. It seems like they've got some chemistry there with Crosby and then Raquel with Malkin. So that's a spot that I think that they'll look to capitalize on.
And speaking of Malkin, Malkin has taken care of, has really taken it to the Ottawa Senators in recency. 10 points in the last five games, and he happens to be shooting the puck a lot lately. Potentially one of the key players in tonight's game. Someone you might want to maybe slap a couple of dollars and cents on.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but Evgeny Malkin recently has just decided he's doing the Russian machine thing, and he's just on a complete heater. He looked so good in Anaheim. He's, like you said, he's got 10 points in his last five games versus Ottawa. It seems like he really likes playing the Sens. And if there is kind of one of the weak points is that the Sens don't have a ton of the defensemen that can really shut down Malkin's style of play. So I would not be surprised to see Malkin put up a couple of points here. If the line's 1.5, you should be getting plus money on it. That's something I would look for. I don't know that I would take negative odds on him to put up multi points though. That just seems like something that could be a little bit inconsistent. There's not a lot of value there.
Absolutely. And then on the other side with Ottawa, this is not going to be all Pittsburgh, you know, maybe Ottawa wins, who knows? That's the crazy thing about betting. But Brady Tkachuk, I was about to say Matthew. No, it's Brady. Brady Tkachuk, he's been averaging a ton of shots lately, 4.25 per game. Someone who, you know, he's your volume shooter. One of them's got to go in. Maybe he's a key player tonight.
Yeah. So Brady Tkachuk, for whatever reason, he's a volume shooter, and he's not necessarily shooting from the most dangerous areas of the ice. I want to say he gets his scoring chances when he's at the side of the net on the power play. That's usually where he likes to make his living, on the power play. But it seems that against Pittsburgh, he kind of seems to turn it up a little bit. And with the way that Pittsburgh's playing, they do have some injuries on defense. With Tkachuk, like you said, averaging over four shots per game this year, that's somebody I would look at. He's been pretty good of late. He's on a new line that's kind of, even though Ottawa's been cold, they're still generating scoring chances. So that's somebody that could potentially break out and put up a point in this game.
Absolutely. Then finally, we got Thomas Chabot, another key player for Ottawa. Pittsburgh tends to give up a lot of shots from defensemen, a lot of shots from the point. And considering that Chabot's a big power play guy, potentially could be a very good play tonight.
Yes. So Pittsburgh, like you said, they give up a ton of shots to defensemen. It's really one of the areas where they're vulnerable. And on the power play, Thomas Chabot plays the majority of the Sens power play, a minute and a half most nights. And he actually shoots the puck more than the average defenseman on the power play. So when you combine those two things, Pittsburgh giving up a ton of shots to defensemen, Thomas Chabot being the primary power play shooter and their primary shooter on defense, I would look for a line at 2.5, and that's something that I would seriously consider taking.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's Pittsburgh and Ottawa. Let's go over to Boston and the New York Islanders, starting with arguably Boston's best player, David Pastrnak.
Yeah. So David Pastrnak is David Pastrnak. It should be noted that the Islanders don't give up a ton of shots to right wingers, except David Pastrnak is not your regular right winger. And in the last game that they played, he had 7 shots on goal. That's a lot.
A lot of shots.
Yeah, he is also a volume shooter, but he scores a lot. And he's on Boston's power play. He's their number one trigger man. That's somebody I would look to. You can usually get 5+ shots at positive odds. That's something I would seriously consider taking.
And then you talk about players who, you know, seem to go off against certain teams. Brad Marchand has multi-point games to the last 3 against New York Islanders. Could he make it 3 of 4?
That's definitely something I'm looking at, because not only, like you said, does he have two multi-point games in 2 of his last 3 against the Islanders, he also has points in 6 straight games coming into tonight's game. So not only does he like playing the Islanders, he's also on a heater. That's something where, like you said, he's back. He's playing on the top power play unit. He looks really, really good. I think that this is a great spot for him to put up at least 1 point, if not 2.
Very cool. All right. Now, Taylor, what about Taylor Hall?
My guy. So obviously going back to his time in New Jersey, played the Islanders a lot. Ever since he's been with Boston, for whatever reason too, he's really liked playing the Islanders. He's got 7 points in his last 5 games against the Islanders, but he's not shooting the puck a ton of late in his recent kind of games. And so he's become more of a puck distributor. He is playing on that line with David Pastrnak. And so obviously he's become more of a facilitator. I would maybe look at him to pick up an assist in this game.
Very cool. All right. And then we look at the two teams in general. Let's say we're trying to go over under. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So looking at the most recent games, Boston's trending over. They're scoring a ton of goals. They're also giving up a little bit more than they're used to. And the New York Islanders, I mean, they've been pretty good defensively ever since Barry Trotz was there, now Lane Lambert. They're trending under. So this is actually a game where I would stay away from the over-under, because you don't know which trend is going to continue. And there's not really any math in their meanings that shows that it would go one way or the other. It's been relatively even.
Very cool. All right. Now let's shift over to the West Coast. We got Colorado and Calgary, two teams who, you know, for different reasons are somewhat underperforming this year, scrapping it out, trying to get back into the playoff hunt. As you said, both teams are struggling more than we expect. Obviously, no conversation about the Avs can start anywhere other than Cale Makar.
Yeah. I mean, like you pointed out, both teams, they're a little worse than we expected. I know personally, I picked Calgary to definitely be in the top 3 spots in the Pacific this year. I think we all thought Colorado was probably going to repeat in their division. And so little bit of struggles this year, ton of injuries in Colorado. But the one thing that hasn't changed for Calgary is they are very stingy defensively. They do not give up shots. And I looked at Cale Makar's career against Calgary. He's played 6 games. And in all of those games, he has 2 or less shots. And usually his shot line is 2.5. So that's something I would take a look at. He also only has 4 assists in 6 career games played. So not only is he not a point per game, which is rare for him, he also doesn't have a goal scored. So this is maybe a spot where Calgary's stingy defensive prowess maybe makes it a little bit more difficult for Makar to put up the shot volume and the points that you're usually used to.
Absolutely right. Then we got obviously Nathan MacKinnon, the other superstar, or one of the many superstars, I guess, on Colorado. Goals and 4 straight versus Calgary. He really likes to take it to the Flames. Potentially a good play tonight.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, right? When you're scoring in 4 straight games versus a team, you really like playing that team. Put it this way. He likes that as much as he likes cauliflower pasta or whatever he eats during his pregame. But not only that, he's got 5 or more shots in 6 of his last 7 games versus Calgary. And coming into tonight, he's got 5 plus shots in 4 of his last 5 games and 11 points in his last 5 games. So he's over 2 points per game in his last 5 games. He's putting up a ton of points. He's kind of the trigger man now. They still don't have Landeskog in the lineup there. They've separated Rantanen and MacKinnon. Their power play is still, they're still together. But at the end of the day, Nathan MacKinnon's driving his own line and Mikko Rantanen's not there to take shots from him. And so I would look for these trends to continue. There's something called a ladder play where you can take a player to have 4, 5, 6, 7 shots. This is potentially a play here, as obviously MacKinnon seems to love playing against Calgary. I also would not bet against him scoring a goal.
Absolutely. All right. And then, you know, you go over to Calgary, you think they have so many big names, you know, the Nazem Kadri's of the world, the Jonathan Huberdeau's, the Elias Lindholm's, all that. But you want to take a look at the third line.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I want to take a look at the third line here is Colorado's bottom 6 right now is rough. Mm-hmm. Like when I went and I looked at their line combinations, they had a guy who didn't even have stats. Like that's how rough it is right now. The best player in their bottom 6 is Alex Newhook, and he's a very young player. And against a team like Calgary who's super disciplined, that could be a problem. And if you look at Calgary's third line, Andrew Mangiapane, Michael Backlund, Blake Coleman, it's got to be one of the best third lines in the league. And if you look at their stats, Michael Backlund's averaging 4 shots in his last 5 games. He's got 3 points in his last 5 games, and he plays on the second power play unit. That's an opportunity for him to not only put up shots, but also points. And you look at Andrew Mangiapane, he's got 4 points in his last 5 games. He's also on the second power play unit, and he is one of the primary shooters on that unit. So you're going to have opportunities not only at even strength in this game against Colorado to put up shots and points, but you're also going to have that on the power play.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to Tampa Bay versus Vancouver. Now, you know, obviously two teams that are, I would say, trending in opposite directions. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Vancouver Canucks, they're the Vancouver Canucks. Although there could be something interesting here in Vancouver in the sense that, you know, the intangibles, they're rallying from something. They're trying to rally together. Why don't we take a look at that?
Yeah, so very unfortunate. Gino Ogic passed away. He probably should be in the Canucks Ring of Honor. There is a rumor floating around that they're going to bring back the Flying Skate jerseys for tonight's game. I don't know why, and I worked for the organization. We couldn't figure it out. But for whatever reason, there is a mental bump that comes with playing with the skate jerseys. The Canucks always seem to somehow play better and more entertaining hockey, like just goals galore in those games. They're also coming off of a rather tough road trip where, I mean, you got the Pittsburgh game, then they played the two teams in Florida and Carolina where they did get that shootout win. Overall, though, it was a pretty rough trip. And when you're flying cross-country, keep in mind Tampa's also flying cross-country, these games tend to go over. Mm-hmm. And so I just mentioned the flying skate bump. They're going to be motivated to play for Gino Ogic. There was that press conference on Monday where I don't think the players kind of liked what they heard. I wouldn't be surprised if they're motivated here. And because they're poor defensively, we probably are going to see a lot of goals tonight.
And hey, they could be rallying for a coach who might not be their coach in a couple days. There's a lot of things to play here. Speaking of things to play, though, the Lightning are one of the hottest teams in the league. They've won five straight, including last week. Just a team that just completely wires shots on their opponent. They're red hot. They're playing a team that is reeling from a lot of things, some self-inflicted. What's going on here?
Yeah, so last week the Lightning and the Canucks played. There were 75 shots in that game.
A lot of shots.
There were only 60 minutes in a hockey game. So you're talking about over a shot a minute. That is a lot. And Lightning had 40 shots. So Vancouver gives up a ton of shots, specifically to right wingers. And I mean, they're less than 68% on the penalty kill. That's not great. And if you look at it, the game last week, Kucherov, Point, Stamkos all had 2 points. And that's a spot where I would look. Tampa's got a good power play. They've got a ton of weapons. Obviously, Vancouver's penalty kill is not great. So there's going to be a lot of juice on those three players to get points in general. Maybe looking at their power play point lines is something I would look at to potentially get some better odds. But don't be surprised in a game that I'm expecting to go over if these three players have multi-point games again.
Well, if you're talking about games that are going to go over, you might think that Vancouver's superstars are going to perform. What about Elias Pettersson, for example?
Yeah, Elias Pettersson has been a really big bright spot for the Canucks this year. He's performed really well. And just kind of looking at his most recent games, even on what was a tough road trip for the Canucks, he has 6 shots in 4 of his last 6 games, and he has 8 points in his last 6 games. So regardless of whether the Canucks are producing or not, he is contributing and he is producing and he's getting his cookies. I believe against the Lightning last week, he had 8 shots on goal. I don't expect him to repeat that, but I would expect that he probably gets in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 shots, especially, like you said, if there's a ton of scoring, if there's power play opportunities, whatever the case may be, I would expect Elias Pettersson to be a prominent figure in tonight's game.
And then obviously Bo Horvat, someone who is having a career year, someone who, I mean, in terms of fantasy hockey, I picked him up off waivers as being the best move I've ever made. Fantastic. He's someone who seems to score every night these days. Could be a good play there.
Why was Bo Horvat on waivers? We need to talk about this.
This is the start of the year.
Oh, okay.
He hadn't exploded for what he was doing. So it was not like, for example, at the start of the year, Tage Thompson was on waivers. Okay?
I have Tage Thompson in my hockey pool.
As you should, as everyone should, if you can. But yeah, Bo Horvat, incredibly hot lately, incredibly hot this season in general. May want to, if the train is rolling, you might want to hop onto it.
I am firmly on the Bo Horvat train. He's got points in 10 of his last 11 games. That's pretty consistent. That's a big enough sample size. And not only that, in those 11 games, he has 17 points. So we're talking about a guy who's putting up 2 points more than he's putting up 1 point more often of late. He, I believe, had 2 points against the Lightning last week, if I remember correctly. And so you look at that, he is a volume shooter. He plays in the middle on the power play. The problem you have is you've got Elias Pettersson, you've got Brock Besser, you've got JT Miller. There's a lot happening there. And so I don't know that I'd necessarily look at his shots. I would, however, look at his points. There are some lines that have him at just half point. So is he going to get 1 point or not? That's a line I'd be taking all day, every day. I mean, until he shows me that he's not going to score, I have to go on the knowledge that he is going to score. And so that's something that I would look at. He also just scored his 30th goal of the season. That's a good confidence boost. I wouldn't be surprised if he scored in this game.
Absolutely. All right. And then finally, we don't know who is going to be starting tonight for Vancouver, but both their goalies, they have to deal with Colin Delia and Spencer Martin. Not exactly who they were hoping for, but potentially for a one game play. Who knows?
Yeah. So the Canucks, it's not a secret. They give up a ton of shots. And so whether you're Thatcher Demko or Colin Delia or Spencer Martin, you are still facing the same amount of shots regardless, because you still have the same team in front of you. Colin Delia has been the better of the two goalies that are healthy right now. He's got 29 or more saves in his last 4 starts. And Spencer Martin has 31 saves in his last two starts. He was obviously pulled in the third start. But I would say that the fact that Vancouver gives up a ton of shots, Tampa takes a ton of shots, the goalie saves line might be a good one here, because you're going to have a ton of shots, which means unless a goalie's giving up 10 goals, they're making a lot of saves.
Absolutely. All right. And then finally, our final game on the slate here, it's the Dallas Stars versus the San Jose Sharks. Two teams would potentially go over. They have in the past. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, so they've played two games this season. They went over in both of those games, scoring 7 and 9 goals. The last game was close. It was a 5-4 victory. And so I look at that and I say, okay, you've got two teams. Erik Karlsson's obviously a key for San Jose. That you've got Timo Meier, Thomas Hertl, Logan Couture. You've got guys that can score on that team, even though on the whole, they're not a great team. Then you look at Dallas, Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, Jamie Benn scored 2 goals in the last game that they played. You got Tyler Seguin. They do have offensive weapons. And so for me, this is a game where you kind of just have to look at the trend and say, till they don't go over, that might be an over that I take, so long as it's not outrageous. If it's 6, 6.5, that's something that I would look at to have some value.
But keep in mind, though, is that only 2 San Jose Sharks players had 3 shots in their last meeting.
Yeah, so I went through these stats from the last game. Here's something crazy for you. Let me know what you think of this. Mm-hmm. The last game they played, the Sharks had less than 22 shots on goal.
And yet they went over.
Yeah, so the goalies just weren't, I don't know, participating in the game. But there were not a lot of shots in that game. It was one of the lowest shot totals in the entire league this season. And so I don't expect that to be repeated. Both of these teams, they do get their shots. But it is worth pointing out that, yeah, only 2 Sharks players had 3 shots in their last meeting. Timo Meier only had 2 shots. And he's usually a 4 or 5 shot guy. Mm-hmm. So given that knowledge, I may stay away from Timo Meier in this game for his shot totals. He hasn't been shooting the puck a ton of late. And so that's a trend where if I'm taking anything, I'm actually probably going to take the under 4.5.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, you look at the individual players here. Obviously, you got to start with Jason Robertson, just having a tremendous season. He's got 5 points in his last 5, although 2 of those games, he did go pointless. What do you think about him?
Yeah, so he's been, I mean, you just said, right? He's had a ridiculous season. But he's, by his standards for this year, he's been kind of cold of late, right? You only have points in 3 of your last 5. Yeah, you're a point a game, but that's kind of cold for him. Mm-hmm. But he had 2 points in his last meeting against San Jose. He's got 3 or more shots in 4 of his last 5 games. So he's starting to show signs of kind of getting those shots and getting those scoring chances. He's somebody I would look to target. He seems to like playing San Jose. That may be somebody that I target. If you can get his point line, just to kind of score a point, that's something I would look at. I'd also look at him to score a goal in this game.
And then you talk about volume shooters. We've got Miro Heiskanen out here, who's just wiring him from the point.
Yeah. I don't know what got into Miro Heiskanen or who's telling him to shoot the puck the way he has. So he's got 3 or more shots in 9 straight games. And not only that, in 4 of those 9 games, he has 4 or 5 shots. So it's not that he's just hitting that number. He's blowing right past it. And for a defenseman to be having 3, 4, 5 shots in a game, that doesn't usually happen. And the fact he's doing it so consistently, and the San Jose Sharks do give up shots from the point. He's the top guy on the power play. He's clearly identified that he needs to shoot more, and he's doing that. And so for me, he's hitting the net, he's getting his chances. This is an opportunity where I think maybe the markets haven't adjusted yet. This might be somewhere where I have been taking his over, and I will continue to do so.
All right. And then finally, we got, you want to talk about a defenseman who takes a lot of shots and scores a lot of points from the blue line. We got Erik Karlsson, who is having, like we said, an incredible year, but like Jason Robertson, in a sense, has been kind of cold as of late by his standards.
Yeah, he has been. I mean, if you look at it, he had 2 down seasons, and then this season, he's probably somebody you could pick up off waivers too. He's been their best defenseman by a very large margin. He's leading the team in scoring by, I believe, 10 points as of the recording of this show. So that is a legitimate lead, but he only has one multi-point game in his last five games. That's a little bit concerning. He's not scoring as much of late. And I think Dallas is better defensively than they're potentially given credit for. And so for me, yes, while I see this game going over, I do think that with Carlson's line usually set at 1.5 points, that's not something that I would necessarily be interested in taking. I would, however, look for him to get over one assist because I do think that there is going to be scoring and he's the facilitator of that offense.
Very cool. All right. Well, that is the slate that we have coming up for you. We'll be back, obviously, before Saturday's games to tee those up. But Rachel, it's fantastic. Can't wait to be doing with you this with you, you know, twice a week. It's going to be great. And then obviously go to BetMGM for all your betting needs. And also, if you'd like to find past episodes of this podcast or this podcast, any of the other THM podcasts, go to thehockeynews.com/podcast. That's where all our archives are. It's fantastic. Rachel, thank you so much for doing this. Can't wait to do it next week.